I'm glad Jesus lifted me.
Amen.
I'm glad to see all of your faces here this morning.
Amen.
It's a glorious day. You know, I fear that even as God's children, we take God for granted. You know, when I go to bed at night, I expect I'll wake up and see the sun rise. And I don't often think about the fact that He's the one that set it all in motion, isn't He?
Yeah.
And sometimes scientists, they project, you know, how much life is left in our sun and when it'll all quit. I don't give too much concern about that because I recognize that God started it all. And God will be the one that stops it when He chooses to. And that's what our lives on this earth are about, is being ready to see God when He decides to stop it. Once again, thank you for your presence. It's good to see you all here. And I've prepared a few things to say, and I'm going to keep it as brief as I possibly can. I am going to continue with our study in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and we'll read that again before the lesson is over. And oftentimes when I prepare a lesson, maybe Stanley's the same, you prepare the lesson but you don't have a title for it, and the title kind of comes after the fact. Well, the title of this one just came a few minutes ago. I had a title, but it's got a different title now, and the title is, Have You Become a Butterfly? You know, burdens are a fact of life.
Amen.
We recognize that. And I don't know, well, I do know some of the burdens that some of you are carrying this morning, because I know you, but I don't know everything that's on your heart. And some of you, I don't know anything about the burdens that you may be carrying, what might be weighing you down or heavy on your mind. And if you're like me, from one day to the next, the thing that's the most on your mind or bothering you the most can change, and it can change even within a day. You think something is bad, and then something else happens, right? And then the thing that you thought was bad, you don't think about any longer. That's kind of the way we are as fickle human beings. So I don't know that, but what I do know is the answer. I know the answer to life's burdens. And it's not because I'm smart, it's because it's revealed in God's Word. Jesus invites us here. This is an invitation by Lord God Jesus for us to have our burdens eased. He presents the solution. He invites individuals, that's you and I, to come to Him for rest. And you know, so often I fear we misunderstand Jesus here. In fact, I know we do. Even in the past, I think I've misunderstood this to a degree. And you know, we have talked about this for a while now, and some of the things I'm going to say this morning, I did say in the last lesson that I gave, but not all of the things. I'm going to try to just, you know, put a little bit different of a perspective on this morning. But so often we misunderstand Jesus. And you know, what did Jesus really mean? What does He mean when He speaks of rest? And I bring this up because when Jesus speaks of rest in this passage, He may not be talking about what we perceive as rest. I don't think Jesus is talking about going home and sitting down in your easy chair with your remote and deciding what you're going to watch next on television, right? Now, I'm not condemning that, and that can be restful, but I don't at all think that's the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about offering us. You know, stresses and problems weigh us down. And the most natural response to those who love God and know God is to ask God for relief. And that's good, isn't it? To ask God for relief. Lord, I can't carry this anymore. I'm going to leave it here with you. But I fear sometimes we don't understand all that's involved in our request to God to relieve our burdens. Sometimes I think we just dump our burdens on God like a bag of garbage, and then we walk away without any change at all taking place in our lives. I don't think that's what God has in mind. God just doesn't operate that way. Christ's invitation is to join Him. J-O-I-N. Join. We know that word. We don't even need to define it. It's such an easy word to understand. He wants us together with Him. And the yoke He talks about, you know, implies something, doesn't it? Yoke is used to do work. That's what we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. And He talks about walking and working together with Him. And that's a little bit different than just dumping all of our garbage on God and going about our way and said, now I don't have to worry about it. Now I can just do whatever I want. Well, that's not exactly the way that God designed it. The yoke of Christ is a symbol of discipleship. Okay. We work with Him. It's a symbol characterized by our submission to Jesus and obedience to Him. Now, God's goal isn't simply to give relief by removing a weighty trial or affliction from our lives. That's not His goal. Jesus, now listen to this very carefully because I don't want you to misunderstand me. Jesus didn't die just to save us. He died to draw us to Himself. Okay? He wants to draw you to Himself in a close and trusting relationship. That's the yoke we're talking about. It's a relationship. You know what a relationship is, right? It takes at least two people, and it's usually that's what it is. It's a two people, and that's what it is with Jesus. It's a two people relationship. Those who take Him up on His offer, listen to another word here now. Bill's been teaching us about these key words. Well, this is a key word here. We will be transformed. Okay? Transformed, and we won't ever return to our old ways. That's what transformation is. Right. Remember the butterfly? We've seen caterpillars, right? Amen. And they crawl up on a leaf and they spin the cocoon and they go up in there and they stay there for a while and they're transformed, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, when they come out of that cocoon, they're nothing like they were when they went in it. And you know what? They never ever become what they were before again. Amen. There's something better now.
Amen.
And that's the life of a Christian. The process of lightening the load begins. It starts with learning to know and understand the Lord. Sounds like a relationship, doesn't it? When you have a relationship with someone, you learn to know them. You know them well. And then you can have a relationship with them. You begin to understand them. We talk about knowing the things that make them tick, knowing what pleases them and what displeases them. That's what a relationship with the Lord is like. You know, the burden. When we have this relationship with God, this is hard for us sometimes. The burdens that we have are not always necessarily removed. Now, I don't have to tell you that. You know that, don't you? But our thoughts and our processes, the way we live, are changed as we begin to love Him, as we begin to trust Him and believe His promises and rely on His power. That's that change, that metamorphosis that we're talking about. Then the weight of the affliction shifts from our shoulders onto Jesus, and He begins to carry the load with us. And you know what? will discover relief. Relief. Although, now get this, although the situation itself may remain unchanged. You understand what I'm talking about? That's what Jesus is promising us. He's promising us relief no matter and apart from the circumstances that we may find ourselves in. Now, being yoked with Christ results in rest. Now, don't ignore this because this is important for your soul. This is a spiritual thing. It's not sitting in the easy chair that I already mentioned. It's something that happens within our deepest self. Life's pressures may not lessen. Now, I know you would rather hear that if you become a Christian, and I'd rather tell you this, that if you become a Christian, you'll never have to worry about another thing and you'll never have any more problems and everything will be okay. But that's not what Jesus promises us. Amen. So I can't tell you that. But life's pressures, though they may not lessen, if you are intimately linked together in this yoke with Jesus, in this relationship with Jesus, then your soul is free. Your soul is free from the anxiety that comes with all of these pressures. And His peace is ruling in your heart. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? His peace is ruling in your heart. You know, Jesus wants to help us. He wants us to jump into His yoke. You have nothing to lose but weariness, and you have everything to gain. Let Him help you. He would like for us now. And I do believe there is a physical aspect to this. I don't think Jesus wants us to be stressing the way we have been and destroying our health due to all the stress and the things that we feel and having anxiety over things that we can't control. I don't believe Jesus desires that for us. And I think a byproduct of what I'm talking about spiritually here is the removal of some of those things, if not all of those things, from our lives, so that, yes, indeed, our physical resting will be better too. But His primary focus is on our spiritual selves. Now, I have a couple of questions for you to ponder on, and then I'm going to be finished here. Are you trying to bear your burdens all by yourself? Are you? Or have you, become that butterfly? You've changed, right? We'll talk about that. When was the last time now? Most of us are Christians here, so I'm talking to you primarily. When was the last time you explicitly turned to Jesus in prayer and you said, I'm not finished. Turned explicitly to Jesus in prayer and said something like this: I'm tired. I'm tired, Lord. I've got many burdens, and my soul needs rest, and I trust in You. Help me, Jesus. You know, that's a simple prayer, isn't it? Jesus hears those things. Our passage says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Now, I know we do need to understand, and probably most of you do by now, what a yoke is. And we need to understand it if we're going to understand this verse properly. And when Jesus says, "Take My yoke upon you," we've established already that a yoke is something used to do work. And so to some of us, what we hear from Jesus, what it sounds like to us, is that Jesus is asking us to do something else, to take another burden upon ourselves. And sometimes we think, well, Lord, I've got enough to deal with. And some of us even get so bold as to say, Lord, I don't need to take your problems on me too. You know, a yoke is a wooden device, and I'm certainly not an expert on this, but it's designed to go over oxen. And two of them, it's got a little curve where it goes over their shoulders so that they can pull with their shoulders and with their bodies to do work. And so what the yoke does is it binds two animals together so that each animal can bear less of the load. It makes it easier for them to get the work done. Now, that's the value of the yoke. See, we need to understand that a yoke, though yes, it's used to do work, it has value, and its value is enabling these animals to share the load. The share is the key word here. Without a yoke, now this is us. He's not talking to oxen. He's talking to us. We get that, right? This is a spiritual thing. And so here's the value. If you don't take the yoke of Christ, does that mean you don't have the burdens? Not at all, does it? Does that mean you don't have anything to worry about, anything to deal with? No, you know what it means? It means you're pulling it by yourself. That's what it means. If we don't take the yoke that Jesus offers us, which is a blessing, what a blessing it is for an animal. If I was an ox and I got another one to help me, boy, you know, I would be thankful for that. Well, it's the same thing here. The yoke enables the oxen to pull together, makes it much the load much easier to manage. The yoke is a blessing. Amen. Do we get that? It's a blessing that Jesus offers us. When Jesus says to take his yoke upon you, he's not saying he's going to give you his problems. That's kind of silly, isn't it? Jesus don't have any problems. We got problems, but Jesus doesn't have any. Jesus has, he can handle our problems. That's what he's offering. He's saying he's going to share your problem. He's going to help you with it. He's going to share your load. He's going to take your stress upon himself and bear it with you. That's, see, I don't know. I don't know if that's what we want to hear. We want to hear that he's going to take everything completely away, but that's just not what he says, is it? He's going to bear it with you. And I say, wow, that's that it, to have the Lord God bearing our burdens with us. What a blessing. See, the point that I made already, and I think you got it, is that we don't have any choice about burdens. You're either going to bear them alone, or you're going to bear them with the Lord. I want to bear them with the Lord, because I know that he's going to do most of the work. I'm going to tell you the truth. He's going to do most of the work. You'll be expected to do your part, but the Lord can handle more than you can, and he will. He uses three verbs in this passage. I'm almost finished here. He says, come, learn, and take. He says, come to me. Come to me. See, we have to do that. He calls, but we must respond. He won't make you. If you want to pull the burdens of life on your own, he will allow you to do that. But he says, come team up with me. And then he says, to learn. See, the thing is, we can agree to team up with him, but then we must learn how to do it. You know, it's not just, okay, I'm teamed up with Christ now. Well, there's a learning process, because we've been pulling alone for so long that we've got to learn now how to pull with Jesus. And so he says to take on, to take, that's the other verb, right? Take on a lighter load. And this is going to reduce your stress. This is going to make your life easier to deal with. I mean, I think that's important, don't you? Everybody wants that. When you're yoked with Christ, It's easy to see when the oxen are together. When you're bound together with Christ, you know what happens is that you move with him. You move together. You move in the same direction. And you know what? You move at the same speed. And you move in the right direction. We often talk about moving ahead of God. You've heard that, right? You don't wait on God. You try to run ahead of God. Well, if you're wearing the yoke of the Lord, that won't happen. You'll be patient. You'll be right there with Jesus, moving when he moves and stopping when he stops. And you'll be going the right direction. One last point, the lesson will be yours. You know, Jesus is going to help lighten our load. But Jesus works in ways that we don't recognize, I think, sometimes. And sometimes he gives us brothers and sisters. And so when our brothers and sisters help us, you know what? That's Jesus. Why do they want to help us? Because they got Jesus in them. They want to pull the load too. They want to help pull. Everybody wants to work together, those that love the Lord. So why is it so difficult? And this, we have to work at this. Why is it so difficult sometimes to accept the help of other people, other Christians who want to share your burdens and make it easier on you? You know, they're yoked with Christ too. And when we don't allow that to happen, we're actually refusing to allow Jesus to help us. Sometimes somebody offers to help. So, oh, that's okay. You don't have to. Well, you know what? You're kind of denying that brother his blessing when you do that. You think it's for you. When somebody offers to help, oftentimes, yeah, it is for you, but it's more for them. Amen. Allow them. Accept their help. That's the way Jesus would have it be.
Amen.
Yes. Do you have people in your life whom you're willing to help and you want to help? Of course you do. You want them to allow you. And how are you offering yourself to others? You know, sometimes we think other people just know. You know, well, I'm here and I'm his brother. He knows. Well, no, they don't. Okay? Should we? Maybe, but we don't. We need you to say something. We need to talk it over with each other. That's the blessing of being all of us bound together in Christ. And God already knows about all of our stress in our lives. He's aware of it. And you know, how will you show him that you're ready to take on his yoke? How and when are you going to become a butterfly? Don't you think today's the day? Maybe you're in that cocoon. I think we have folk at this congregation, I'm sure, I know, that have been in the cocoon a long time. They're done. They're ready to come out. But you got to come out of that cocoon and be what God would have you to be. And if you're here this morning, got a song, Stanley?
15.
Let's sing number 15. If you have a spiritual need, just let it be known as we stand and sing.
Please be seated. Oh, thank Brother Henry for those words of encouragement.
Yes.
Butterfly, or you're still in the cocoon? And you know, I've noticed something about a butterfly. It has wings. And he knows how to fly. And very little stops him from flying. Even when the wind is blowing and when the rain is coming down, the butterfly knows how to fly. How many butterflies do we have this morning?
Amen.
Do you really know how to fly in the midst of trials and tribulations in your life? Do you really know how to do what God says no matter what transpires? Very interesting text. And the more I study it, the more I'm finding out that there's a whole lot in this text that I've missed. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and
lowly.
Where?
In heart.
And ye shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I want to focus in on one little word if I can. And that little word is right there. Meek. You know, we live in a world where that word there really is not in most people's vocabulary. You know, most of the time when a person is meek, they always say if you find a food bump, it's here, right? Not here.
Not here.
Not here. But when you talk about this word meek, sometimes people think meek means weak. Or meekness means weakness. No? The word meek there means power under control. No, power under control. Because here in this text here, Jesus is offering this invitation to come. An invitation that he is offering you and I in the midst of our trials and tribulations. That if we would just surrender our will to him, take his burden and get away from yours. You know, and I'm learning that in this invitation here, Jesus has some things that he would like to remind us of. The title is The Invitation That We Missed. Ever missed an invitation?
Yes.
They sent it to you in the mail and you just threw it over there with the rest of them bills because you didn't want to look at it. Nah. Ever missed an invitation?
Yes.
This morning I want to encourage all of us to stop and think about the invitation that God offers each and every one of us. As I look out in the audience and I see a lot of grace. Amen. God offers us an invitation to be the example that we need to be to the younger generation. Because he knows one day that invitation, each and every one of us is going to fulfill. But I want to talk about, for I am meek. And I'm learning that in order for me to really serve Jesus, I have to learn how to be meek.
Amen.
I have to learn how to be humble, not according to my standards, but according to his standards. And his standard is, if I take his yoke and learn of him, it will help me to be meek and submissive to the will of the Father. That's why when it's time to serve God, nothing else really matters to me. Why? Because I'm learning to take his yoke.
Right.
And when I take his yoke, guess what? You know the problems I have? I tell people I don't have no problems. Everybody look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Because I've learned that if I trust him, if I depend on him, if I do his will, he says, I will take care of everything else. You know, just like the two oxen that pulled together.
Okay.
Could you imagine if one of them stopped pulling? Could you imagine what that other boy would say? Well, hey, what you doing? What you doing? You know what? That's a prime example of you and I as members of the body of Christ. Yes, I stand as the minister, but are you pulling with me? Or are you pulling against me?
Mm-hmm.
See, because when we pull together, we edify one another, we build one another up, and we show the world out there that we are what Christ expects us to be. So that means every single one of us here are yoked. But the question is, what kind of yoke do you have? If you have the yoke of the world, I feel sorry for you. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he who doeth the will of the Father. And church, I'm learning that's the whole key. Jesus says, for I am meek. And I'm learning that when I understand what meekness is all about, then my everyday life has a real meaning. I'm learning that in order for me to really be meek, I got to learn how to be like Christ.
Amen.
Oh, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave the very best. He sent not his son into the world to damn the world, but to save the world. And so in order for me to learn how to be like Jesus, I got to learn how to be like him all the way. You know, just like two yokes together, They got to learn to pull and encourage one another. I could just imagine two bulls pulling together. Mm-hmm. See, I like to make my stuff humorous, but at the same time, make my point. And the point is that if we pull together, what can stop us? What can hinder us? When we pull together collectively as the body of Christ, we make the difference in the community in which we live in. When we pull together as one another, as one, then the world sees what Jesus really said. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. New commandment I give unto you is that you what? Love one another as I have loved you. By this, by what? By the love we demonstrate to one another. But I'm like, Henry, maybe you're still in the cocoon.
See, because when you really love someone, when you really care for someone, who's number one?
God.
And who's number two? Me, myself, and I. Right?
Amen. But I'm learning, in order for me to be me, I got to develop the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. See, meekness helps us to understand that when I am meek in spirit, then that relays in my physical life. I'm learning that the more I learn how to be submissive to the will of God, the more I understand what life is all about. I understand that life one day is going to be taken out of my mortal body.
That's right.
I'm not worried about it.
No.
Because I have a place prepared. How about you this morning? Do you really have a place prepared? You know, just like the butterfly that comes out the cocoon? Does he just fly around and have nothing better to do? No, he's preparing for the next. Come on, y'all. What is the butterfly doing? Is he not preparing for the next generation of cocoon?
Y'all don't, not with me this morning.
But that's okay. But I want to encourage you as God's people. When we talk about meekness, we have to understand and see the examples of where it comes from. And I'm learning that when we're meek and submissive like Jesus Christ, it's not difficult for us to be meek to one another. The Bible says in John chapter 6 and round about verse number 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. That sounds like a very meek and submissive individual. John chapter 8 and round about verse number 29, Jesus says, I always do the things that please my Father. And church, and I'm learning that in this invitation that is offered in this text, Jesus is offering you and I that are members of the body of Christ to understand what we have obeyed. Amen. We have obeyed from the heart the gospel, have we not?
Amen.
And we were willing to give the very best of our lives for him. Isn't that what we said?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't read the fine print. And then those of you that are visiting that are not part of the body of Christ, I want you to understand this invitation here is an invitation for you to come out of darkness into a marvelous light. To obey from the heart the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. To obey what thus saith the Lord, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he adds us to the body, which is the church. I want to encourage each and every one of us this morning that God is calling. Look at the world in which we live in. Do you think all of this stuff that's going on right now doesn't have a meaning? You know, read your Old Testament. When Israel was disobedient to God, God allowed them to go into captivity for a long time. And then as soon as they came out of captivity, got to the Red Sea, and they just like you and I, murmuring and complaining because we don't have nothing to eat. He feeds them, and it's not what we want. You know how we do. You think all the stuff that's going on in the world we live in right now is not a wake-up call? It's a wake-up call for the believer to stand up and say, I believe that he is the Son of God, and my life makes a difference because his life made a difference. And if we ever are going to change the world in which we live in, church, look at what's going on. This stuff is happening to wake us up before he comes. When is he coming? I don't know, but I know one thing. I plan to be ready.
That's
And to be ready means I'm going to have to learn of him. I'm going to have to take his yoke. And I'm going to have to do what he requires of me. I'm learning that there was a man on the face of the earth before Jesus came that the Bible says was the most meekest person on the face of the earth. Anybody know who that is? I give you a hint. Numbers chapter 12. Oh, you need a little more hint? Starts with an M. You need a little more hint? He helped part the Red Sea when he... That's right. The Bible said he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And it shows us an example that if you and I surrender our will to the will of the Father, God will make us supreme. I took this word meek, M-E-E-K, and I put some little stuff to it. Meek means the master's plan for us. Yeah, that M, the master's plan for us. The E is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ for us. The other E is eternity into the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, church. I got a promise from him. And that promise is if I remain steadfast and unmovable and remain faithful till he calls me to the other side, he's going to give me a crown that fadeth not away. That's what motivates me. That's what enthuses me. To know that no matter what transpires, I got my name on the door. How about you this morning? Still in the cocoon? Time to come out? Is your name on the door? Somewhere down the line, Paul said to the church, make your calling. Peter said it. Make your calling what? An election sure. And if there's ever been a time we need to do that, now is the time. I just hope and pray that as we continue to go throughout this year, as all of the tragedy and everything that goes on around us is happening, that you and I, as the body of Christ, stop and take some serious inventory of what God is trying to tell us. Yes, it may not be happening in Southern California, but I think God is trying to show us that the time might be at hand for you and I to recognize and surrender our will to the will of the Father. Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. Want to remind those of us who are members of the body of Christ, take serious your relationship to God, because Peter says it's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and turn from it. I want to encourage all of us to stop and think about how much of a difference are we making in our neighborhoods, how much a difference we're making in our households. And if we're not, maybe it's time for us to come out of darkness, come out of the cocoon, and really be what God requires us to be. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known. As together we stand and sing number 19.